Welcome back to Better Odds Sports Betting. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill, and I'm joined by Kyle Hunter, as always, my sidekick next to me. And we have a fantastic guest from Doc Sports, Mr. Tony George. Tony, how you doing this week, man?
I'm doing good. I'm anticipating a solid college and pro football weekend. Obviously, last Sunday was a little bit disturbing to everybody. If anybody says they went 5-0 last Sunday, I'm going to call you a liar. So at the end of the day, excited about the weekend. And, of course, college basketball now starting to wind up. So and the golf season's here. And so there's a lot of stuff going on to keep me busy.
Very, very true. You know, college basketball always creeps up on us in the middle. Like, I was texting Kyle like 10 days ago, hey, man, did you get your book yet? Did you prep? We're like, I'm behind. We're always behind in this, but it's always fun to jump into it because now we have another thing to find a little, some games to hopefully some, you know, obviously some value because, you know, it's tightening up a little bit in the NFL, isn't it? And in college football. Yeah. The later the season goes, the more the market understands these teams. There's not as many of those, you know, nice little massive outliers where you think the spread is completely off from what the market is. So great to have another sport here. Obviously, NBA and hockey going strong as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about a few key games today. Always talking about the big games on Better Odds Sports Betting. So I'm excited to get into that. Before we do, this episode is brought to you by BetUS.com for 125% sign up bonus. Please visit BetUS and use the promo code Better Odds. Terms, conditions, and location apply. Let's get right into it then. Kyle, NC State versus Wake Forest. Wake Forest is about a -1.5-ish, totals 66.5. I'm going to let you start this one. It's a big ACC matchup coming on.
Yeah, I think this is the one I have the least strong lean in this game, so I'll try to be quick on this one. But I think it's interesting, you know, Wake Forest kind of had their bubble burst last weekend, right? So you always don't know what to think of that team after that kind of game. I think NC State has been a bit undervalued. I took the season win total over. Fortunately, that one's already cashed. So NC State, well-coached team, so is Wake Forest. You know, Clawson's certainly a very good coach. I'm going to lean toward NC State getting the points here. Always have to lean toward an over in a Wake Forest game too. I mean, you know, they don't play much defense and they play extremely fast. As far as tempo, Wake Forest 7th in the country, NC State is 94th. So we have a bit of a pace war in this game. Kind of surprisingly, NC State is better on a yards per play margin so far this year than is Wake Forest, +1.11 to +0.90. I think NC State's a little bit better than most people realize. They are 6-3 against the spread. The odds makers haven't quite been able to catch up to them so far this season. Their special teams play has been really good, which certainly helps a lot in a close game. So I'm going to lean toward NC State thinking that, you know, Wake Forest is kind of in that bubble burst spot here.
Oh, for sure. And this game is huge because the Atlantic Conference, this is probably going to be for the representation to go into the championship game here. While it looks like Pitt's the one that's strong on the other side, it's funny not talking about Clemson on this side, but you know, I mean, Wake's already or NC State's already beaten Clemson, and I think Wake still has to play him yet, if I remember. So that's going to be an interesting finish how this goes. But Tony, anything on this big game?
I like the over in this game. You got the number two scoring offense in the country, you know, with Wake. And if it was anybody but Clawson coaching him after that loss last week, I'd be more concerned. I know Kyle had mentioned the letdown spot and the bubble burst, but this is a really good football coach. It's going to be at a lot bigger program than this real soon. His name's going to be on the radar. I'm surprised it's not on the radar for USC and for LSU right now. You're hearing a lot about Franklin and a bunch of other guys, but this is a really good football coach. These guys are averaging 75 points a game between the two of them. Wake can score with anybody. They just can't stop anybody. They're ranked 105th in yards allowed in college football. On the other side of the coin, the team that's getting points is 18th in yards allowed, which, you know, lends a lot of credence towards whenever you get into a pick'em type ball game. You know, as much as college football and even the NFL to a certain degree have evolved, the way they call penalties, protect quarterbacks, and this more geared towards a lot of offense. When you get into big games like this with two really good teams that are relatively evenly matched, what I think they are, the old school technique when you're handicapping of saying the team with the better defense getting points is worth a look. And that would fall on NC State here, in my opinion. But I do like, I still think there's going to be a lot of scoring. I'm not going to buck that trend because Wake Forest can light it up and they can light it up quickly. And I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for NC State to adjust to the speed and pace of play. Like Kyle said, they're in the top 10 in pace of play, you know, getting up to the line of scrimmage, snapping the ball. They don't give you a lot of time to substitute and recover. And it's going to take NC State a little bit to get used to that and adjust to it. But I like the over.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And you know, the over, I was really close to making a play on this. I'm just a little concerned that NC State does have the, well, best defense in the ACC under Clemson, maybe. It's pretty good. I like what they've been doing lately. And maybe Wake Forest has that down game coming in after having that tough loss to North Carolina. They're in control of that game. And then 24-7 outscored in the fourth quarter is what really did them in. Yeah. The problem with Wake, horrible defense. And yeah. I'm almost going to say despicably horrible. The thing about them, they rank 104th in EPA. For a Power 5 team, that's bad. That's around the Dukes, you know.
I'll tell you how bad their defense is. I had them against Army here a while back. I think it was Army. Army threw a touchdown pass against them on fourth and third and nine. Yeah. So the defense kind of stinks.
Yeah, it stinks. And how can you trust that? Normally in this case, you trust the other team. But their spread also tells you that. I mean, Wake Forest is a top team, yet they're not favored by the three or higher, right? It's toying with that a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to enjoy this one. I actually had a personal play I took on Wake at like 14-1 to win the ACC. So I'm going to sit this one out, but I do like what you're saying with the total there. Let's move on to the next game then. We have Tennessee versus Georgia, and I'm seeing about a 20-point spread here. Actually, this is in Tennessee, isn't it? I should have said Georgia versus Tennessee. So this is in Tennessee. The total's about 56 in this game, which tells you, it kind of asks you, can Tennessee score here? I'll quickly start. I mean, Tennessee won that very big game against Kentucky last week, but they're also outgained by many yards, over 100 yards they're outgained. Kentucky just couldn't stop the momentum, the pure momentum. It was a kind of a revenge spot for Tennessee. I actually was on Tennessee, but I was stupid enough. I took the minus half point on Kentucky because they were blowing them out yards-wise for the second half, and I ended up losing that. I should have took the money line at minus 130, but the price told you that you should have done that, and I made a mistake. But the thing that scares me is that Georgia's the top defense here. They're number one in EPA per play. They're number one in pass EPA, 10 in rush EPA. You can't mess with that. This is a defense that can stop a Josh Heupel offense. You know, you worry about, obviously tough offenses like a Lane Kiffin type offense or Josh Heupel, but there's not many defenses that can stop it. But this can possibly stop it to whatever they want to do. And that's what you're scared of. And that's why this thing's at 20. It's like, can Tennessee score at home against Georgia? God, man, I'm going to lean to Tennessee, but I'm probably staying away from this. Tony, I'll let you start.
Well, when you allow 6 points a game in college football and they're averaging 38, I mean, that's just, Georgia's the best team in college football. I mean, bar none. Forget Alabama. You know, Ohio State, all these top ranked teams, all these top number one teams in these Power Five conferences. I'm telling you, out of all those, Alabama's probably better than all the other number one ranked Power Five teams right now in terms of matching up here. But Tennessee, I think, provides a little. Josh Heupel, you know, he's, you know, we know what he's going to run, you know what he's doing here. And it's not uncommon for a team in the SEC to run a spread offense and run it effectively. He's got some talent here. I tell you what, I think it might take a little bit of time for Georgia's defense to adjust to what they're doing. We talked about pace of play in the previous pick. that Kyle brought up with the Wake Forest offense versus a slower paced team. Here at the end of the day, I think that I would like the first half line here. I like Tennessee on the first half line plus 11. I think they're going to probably give them some issues out of the gate. Once they adjust at halftime, they'll drop the hammer and that'll be the end of it. You know, as you'd mentioned earlier, Kev, the noose gets a little tighter as the season grows long, you know, and I like what I've been out of Tennessee this year. Bear in mind, they gave Alabama all they wanted in the first half of that game before Alabama adjusted defensively in the second half and then put them away. And I could see a very similar scenario here. This is not a pick that I love, but I do like it a little bit in the first half plus the 11.
Some questionable calls in that Tennessee-Alabama game.
Yeah, there was.
Looking at Twitterverse. Kyle, thoughts on this big game?
Well, first, you know, Tennessee did win 45-42 against Kentucky. And though they were outgained 6-12 to 4-61, Tennessee had 9.8 yards per play in that game. So they just didn't snap it near as much as Kentucky. I remember the time of possession was like 45 to 15 or something like that. So Tennessee did play really well in that game. You know, obviously Tennessee is a great environment for football. It's going to be pretty crazy for this game. Hopefully there's no golf balls coming on the field, right? You know, this is a Rocky Top. It's fun. I'd like to see a game at Tennessee sometime. I haven't done that. That's on my list. Volunteers defense, I think, has outperformed my expectations for them this year based on how fast they play. And they are first in the nation in pace of play. Based on how fast they play, I kind of wondered if their defense would be able to hold up. And they've played pretty well overall. They didn't play great against Kentucky. But, you know, Georgia hasn't played a great schedule so far this year. Offensively, Stetson Bennett's been good, but I don't think he's a tremendous quarterback. You know, I don't think his upside is really high. And we can't say anything negative about the Georgia defense. It's just tremendous defense. They're so much better than anybody else defensively. There's no weakness there. So strong and deep. I just think that Georgia hasn't really had too many tests yet, and going to Tennessee is a bit of a test.
Yep.
I kind of like Tony's play here on the first half on Tennessee, and I lean toward Tennessee for the full game as well, plus 20. I just think that Georgia has to have a bit of a test at some point. If you look at their schedule, this looks like kind of the best test they would get until the SEC title game. So this is a lot of points for me at Tennessee. I would certainly lean toward the Volunteers.
Yeah, this feels like Tennessee can have a first special teams touchdown or something crazy, you know, just a start right off, right? You know, I can see something like that happening, and or, you know, them obviously throwing a great pass in stride, wide receiver taking it all the way to the house type deal, you know, and Georgia's kind of going in there a little bit flat, a little bit happy, a little bit fat. That happens too. So I'm liking your play as well. So
from a coaching standpoint, Kirby Smart wants a close game. He wants to test this. The first time you face adversity, you don't want that happening in the SEC championship game. You'd like to go on the road somewhere, have somebody kind of grab you by the short and curly, so to speak, and give you a ball game, make you sweat a little bit and build a little character in your team and say, we're facing some adversity here and we're going to have to. And you hit the nail on the head looking at the schedule. This, Kyle mentioned, this is probably the best test before they see an SEC championship game. So them getting in a tight one here and having to, reach back in the vault, so to speak, and bring up some character in the face of adversity, be great for this football team this week. Because, you hate to see that for the first time when it's all or nothing. So it's nice. I think Tennessee might be able to provide that.
Nobody's had a friendlier schedule than Georgia because that Clemson game has not aged well at all. Mm-mm. Let's move on to another big game with a similar type of spread. Purdue versus Ohio State. The Buckeyes are minus 21. The total is 62.5 right now. Obviously, Kyle, being the Buckeye fan, I'm going to let him start on this game, see if he has anything or at least any ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the spread's sitting at 21 right now and a total of 62.5 or so. You know, Ohio State, obviously, I'm a big Buckeyes fan, and I'll be rooting for the Buckeyes in a big way here. Ohio State's been pretty inconsistent lately. I thought they played pretty poorly against Nebraska in general. Ryan Day throwing 54 passes. You know, at the end of that game, they're still throwing the ball with 2 minutes left with the lead by six. And that play where Stroud fumbled it, that could have been really dangerous there for Ohio State. You know, Travion Henderson is really good, probably the best player on their offense. I'm surprised he's not been getting more carries. I think he needs to get more carries in this one because Purdue's weakness is their rushing defense. It's going to be a bit windy here in Ohio for this game. I liked the over some, but I don't like taking overs when I see 15 miles per hour wind or more. You know, in this one, I was still leaning to the over. I can't take the under in a game like this. Purdue's passing attack has come alive of late, guys. You know, David Bell is tremendous, a superstar out there at wide receiver. And O'Connell has really been an upgrade at quarterback. You know, will Ohio State commit to the run? If so, I think so. I think they can run on Purdue. We saw Wisconsin run on Purdue very easily. I think Ohio State probably can as well. 21 points is a lot of points, guys. I mean, I like Ohio State, but I couldn't lay 21 points in this game. In general, I tend to stay away from betting Ohio State football games just because I have so much of a rooting interest in that game already. I would lean toward the over. I don't love that if there's a bit of wind, so I'll check the forecast again as it gets closer. Purdue, a negative 10 sack margin, which would concern me for Purdue. Ohio State is rushing the passer very well here of late. Ohio State plus 22 in sack margin. You know, this is a Purdue offensive line that struggled this year, and Ohio State's number 8 in pass rush grade at PFF. I think 21 is a bit high. Purdue's kind of been that, you know, the slayer of the top teams year after year. But they just came off a really big win last week. You know, I think I would have probably liked Purdue a bit better if they hadn't won that game last week. So my lean here is the over, but I wish it wasn't so breezy for this one.
Tony?
Well, first of all, I'm a Husker fan. And if we had a quarterback at all, we might have been able to win that game last, you know, against Ohio State. But that being said, common opponent, Nebraska, gave both Purdue and Ohio State pretty much a lot more than what they wanted, more than what they expected. And I thought Nebraska showed at least Ohio State still got some chinks in the armor, so to speak. That being said, I don't understand this line. So we talked about the Wake Forest and how a team would be deflated after a loss like that. I don't think this is a letdown spot for Purdue coming off a win. I mean, you take a look at this, it just from a handicapping perspective, to me, it doesn't make any sense. You know, this line, and I like Purdue in this game, you know.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. You got the number 8th ranked pass offense in the country against the 94th ranked pass defense. You've got the number 27th ranked Purdue defense in total yards allowed up against the 48th ranked defense. So you got the better defense. And I know all about Ohio State's, you know, offense and all that. But at the end of the day here, you got the better defense in two key areas here. Catching 21. I mean, catching 21 points. That's it. That is insane to me. You know, and I know Ohio State's a good football team. Don't get me wrong. They're the best team in the Big Ten. But, you know, they are. And they'll beat the hell out of Michigan when they play Michigan. But in this game here, I thought, you know, I had Michigan State power rated as number 12. You know, and Purdue not that high. And they took care of business there. And I think they'll give Ohio State a game here at home. I really do.
All right. Well, for me, there's only one handicap that really matters. And Kyle, are you going to be attending this game by chance?
Yeah, no, let's not do this.
Okay, then maybe Ohio State decide, because if you remember back in 2018, Purdue upset Ohio State, and Kyle just happened to be at that game. unfortunately.
So that was our anniversary present that year. It didn't go very well.
Oh, wow. It was. All relies on if Kyle's going to go to this game. But in all reality, I mean, here's the thing. I completely agree with Tony. I ran the numbers. There's no way I can get to 21, but I've done this with Ohio State before, and they burned me.
Yeah.
My metrics say, bet the other team. And Ohio State, 4 touchdown, unanswered touchdown. You know, they have the power to do that, which absolutely drives me nuts. I will say this, though. I mean, Purdue winning three of their last four games has been very impressive. But the formula is out, and Wisconsin showed you the formula to beat them. Blitz the hell out of Aiden O'Connell, force turnovers, safety over the top. I mean, that's the way you beat them. You've got to put a safety over Bell. You know, you get two guys on Bell, you blitz the hell out of them. You're not worried about the run game because they rank 130th in rush EPA at Purdue. Dead last. I mean, think of the smelly teams, UConn, Massachusetts. Purdue and EPA rush ranks worse than them. Now, obviously, they've had a harder schedule. But here's the good thing. Ohio State, I just said how to beat them. But Ohio State, even though they've been better in getting to the quarterback, they still only rank 30th in sack rate against an easy schedule. Ohio State, in general, minus the Penn State game, has had a pretty easy schedule. And their defense only ranks 38th in pass EPA. So that worries me a little bit. Here's another thing. You look at Aiden O'Connell against top 25 teams, which he's played Iowa and Michigan State. He has 159.6 QB rating in those games, 73% completion percentage. So it looks like Aiden can step up in these big games. But, man, I remember I just got burned this year grabbing the hook, 21.5. In the Indiana game, in a freaking rainstorm, you think everything was lining up for you. Ohio State looks like they were the monsoon coming in. They destroyed Indiana. So, you know, I might be a player here, and I'll probably get suckered into it once it hits 21.5. But I'm not gonna shed a tear if I miss betting this game. Right? It's just kind of one of those games that, you know, oh, I missed it. Oops. Obviously, if Purdue somehow pulled off a miracle, you'd wish that you had a little bit on that money line. But, I mean, Ohio State's Ohio State for a reason. So, right now, I'm going to give a strong lean to what, just like Tony said, the plus 21. And I'm going to see if I can get a better number once some money comes in. Let's move on to the next game, Texas A&M versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss plus 2.5. The total's 56.5. I have a play on this game, so I'll go first. My power ratings actually disagree with my play, and I hate doing that. But in this situation, I have to. My power rating is Ole Miss minus 2. And so the matchup is really what's getting me over the top. Ole Miss, they can pass the ball really well. When they step up in competition, they couldn't. You know, they went against Alabama. They went against Auburn, right? They only scored 20 and 21 points against those teams. And then you have Texas A&M with the defense that's better than Alabama and Auburn, fourth in opponent EPA per pass, you know? So what's going to happen to Ole Miss here? I don't think they can move the ball nearly as well. I have Texas A&M as my third best defense. I have Georgia, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, just like that in my order of defenses. Now, Ole Miss is not going to be able to stop the run. That is what's going to control the time of possession in this game, and that's the matchup that I'm concentrating on. Spiller's a beast. He gets 5 points, just as a team, they get 5.4 rushing yards per attempt. And Ole Miss ranks 119th in opponent rush EPA. I don't see how you can get Texas A&M off the field and their quarterback's throwing a little bit better now. I have to take Texas A&M minus 2.5, and I'm putting 3 stars on it. Tony, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. You got three things at play here in this game. And I broke this down on video. We do a piece for Docs over at Red Rock Sportsbook Live every week. This is one of the games that myself and Scott Spreitzer broke down, and it's old school handicapping. You got the team that can run the football better that has a vastly better defense, period. End of story. The handicap is that simple. And then Ole Miss, they're banged up. Definitely. They're banged up at some skill positions. And on top of that, I don't have it in order here, but their schedule has been brutal. The Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Auburn, yet Liberty wasn't a layup. And now you got Texas A&M. These are all back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, which, by the way, is why they're banged up. They played a lot of really good football teams. And they struggled against teams with good defenses. And Texas A&M is going to run it right down their throat. They're going to eat clock. they're not going to, their offense isn't going to be on the field as much as they need to be effective based on the fact that Texas A&M can dictate pace of play, move the chains running the football, and when they get out there, shut down their offense and take away a lot of the things that they like to do. So I agree with you.
Yeah, they lost some offensive linemen too. Brown, Mingo, they lost on receiver, and looks like Drummond is very questionable to this game. So good stuff, Kyle.
Yeah, we make it unanimous here. I like Texas A&M quite a bit in this one. Ole Miss badly banged up. They got some serious injury problems. And even Matt Corral is far less than 100%. Corral's a great quarterback. He can't run like he had been. And they need everybody they can have right now. They're without their top receiver for sure. Their second best receiver is very questionable. And they could have as many as three reserve offensive linemen starting in this game. So Ole Miss is in a lot of trouble offensively. They only ran for 142 yards against Liberty last week, and 70 of those were on one play. Yeah. So, you know, this is a Texas A&M defense that this is the best defense they've played so far. I mean, this Texas A&M defense is better than Alabama's defense. So I just don't see how Ole Miss is going to score what they usually do. And as you guys said as well, Ole Miss defensively, they can't stop the run. And what do we think Texas A&M is going to do? They're going to run Spiller over and over again. You know, Ole Miss is 124th in defensive rushing play success rate out of 130 teams. I'm really confident that Texas A&M is going to be able to run the football in this game. I'm not really confident of what Ole Miss is going to be able to do on offense in their current state. And I think Elko, the defensive coordinator for Texas A&M, is just about the best defensive coordinator there is in the country. He's really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, this team's playing better and better. A&M didn't play great at the beginning of the season. To me, these are two teams that are kind of heading in different directions. At the beginning of the year, Ole Miss looked like the better team. Lately, Texas A&M really rounding into form. So I like A&M quite a bit here in this one, so I'll take the Aggies -2.5.
And you might want to find if you can find a prop bet on over and under rushing yards for Spiller, I definitely take the over.
Yeah, me too.
yeah, for sure. You know, time of possession, everything lines up, so it sounds like we all like that play. Another thing too, Texas A&M knows that they beat Bama, and they know Bama's going to have a tough time versus Auburn. Bama can easily drop a game here, and Texas A&M will be in the running to be in that SEC championship game, which is huge, obviously. So very, very important spot for them as well. Let's move into some NFL guys. We're going to do the main Sunday night and Monday night games. Kansas City versus Las Vegas, +2.5-ish. There's some threes earlier, 52.5. I think we got a Chiefs fan here. And our buddy Tony. So why not start with that and see what he has to say about this game?
Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't put my Chiefs hat on just to save myself, kind of like Kyle didn't put his OSU hat on. You know, he's got a tough game this week. This is a tough game for Kansas City. The most shocking thing about this game here is Kansas City over the last 3 weeks has averaged 12 points a game. And that's just shocking. And part of the reason Andy Reid's doing the same thing he did towards the end of his tenure at Philadelphia, he's running a predictable offense. He hasn't made any changes. Defensive coordinators have caught up, you know, with what Kansas City shtick is. And, you know, it was unstoppable 2 years ago. It was damn near unstoppable last year. And this year it's stoppable. You know, they're doubling up on Kelce or Hill based on the formation, and they're running a safety or even two safeties deep on him not to give up the big play. And Mahomes is frustrated and forcing the ball and turning it over, and they've completely abandoned the run game. You know, and on the other side of the coin, how'd you like to, and I live out here in Las Vegas, this town is reeling. I mean, you had your 2020 draft picks, your two first rounders have been dismissed from the team. The face of the franchise dismissed from the team, John Gruden, less than a month ago. It finally all kind of rolled up into one and bit him in the ass last week when they played the Giants, you know. And Kansas City, I can only take Kansas City here. I can't trust the Raiders yet. But the way I played this game, I got to be honest with you, I took the Raiders in a teaser, a two-team six-point teaser. So I got him, and, you know, I'll stick him in a teaser with another team. But Raiders are half of my teaser this week. I'm getting them through 3, 6, and 7 up to 8.5. You know, and I think it's going to be a 3-point ball game one way or the other. I'm actually going to the game. This is the first Raiders game I've ever been to outside of Kansas City when I lived there for 12 years because, quite frankly, I hate the Raiders because I've been a Kansas City fan since I was knee-high new grasshopper. Growing up in Lincoln, Nebraska, that's what we had. You had the Huskers, the Royals, and the Chiefs, and that's what I grew up with. But I think it's a pivotal game for Kansas City. I think it's a do-or-die game for Kansas City, especially when it comes to the AFC West standings. I think this is going to be an all-in game for them. If their offense can't get going, and obviously the Raiders' defensive front could pose some issues for them. They've got some really good rush ends, and they do some things very well defensively. Maybe the over in this game was a 52. You know, last year they scored 66 and 70 in those two games, 66 one game, 70 the next. I think you're going to see some scoring here. I'd lean over, but I definitely take the Raiders in a teaser here. I don't think Kansas City is going to blow anybody out. So the way they've been playing offensively.
Kyle, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I want to take Kansas City, but what I've seen out of Kansas City lately, it's kind of hard for me to lay points with Kansas City in any way. So I lean Kansas City. I wouldn't take the Raiders in this game. You know, this game means a lot to Kansas City. Like Tony said, they really got to win this game. Mahomes, I don't know, his mechanics look a bit weird. And like Tony said, they're playing a lot of those two deep safeties, and it's really bothering Kansas City quite a bit here. I still think Kansas City's offense is good, and at some point they could break out. You know, Kansas City's defense is bad, obviously, but so is the Raiders' defense. And the Raiders really haven't played a good schedule so far this year. They've played a pretty weak schedule. Kansas City has played some pretty good teams so far this season. I want to take Kansas City, and I feel like I should be taking Kansas City, but everything I've seen lately, just that offense is just a hot mess. I can't take the Chiefs here. I can't lay the points. So I think I'm going to sit this game out. I also kind of want to take the over, like Tony said. You know, I've seen these two teams go back and forth many times in the past. And if this one goes really high scoring, I'm probably going to be kicking myself. But
yeah,
I think I'm going to pass on this game. Just I can understand a teaser, you know, getting past those key numbers in this game because it probably will be a close game. I think Kansas City probably wins this game, but I'm going to pass on this one, Kiev.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, this game is about what your perception has been either the last 3 years compared to what have you done for me lately.
Right.
You know, that's really what it is. I mean, the Chiefs still ranked nice fourth in offensive EPA per play. The Raiders ranked 17th, but the Raiders ranked 12th in defense EPA. Chiefs 29th, and the Chiefs were 32nd until the last game against the Packers without a quarterback. So a little bit of that was fraudulent, you know, them moving up like that. You know, even with skewed stats, the Chiefs are still negative 0.5 yards per play. I can't believe I'm saying that, Tony. Negative 0.5 yards per play.
Wow.
For the Chiefs, while the Raiders are positive 0.9. I like the signing of Deshaun Jackson. I don't like the player as much just because of his history, but I mean, he is going to stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah,
he's there for a reason. You know, can he do some of the stuff Henry Ruggs did? Maybe in a kind of like as a poor man's Henry Ruggs, I guess. I guess I like him better than Odell Beckham, but I can't get on the Chiefs. There's no way. And I'm going to be honest with you. I took the Raiders at 3. Now it's 2.5, which is a very big difference, as sports bettors know, between 3 and 2.5. So I think Tony is completely on the right idea for teasing this. You have some options. You have the Saints you can tease them with, low total there. You have Cleveland Browns you can tease them with, low total there. Because
Falcons.
Absolutely.
Falcons. Dallas is a triage unit this week, especially on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, you know, I think Falcons get them up to 15.5 and
maybe
stick them in the Raiders.
I think it's just a great teaser leg, personally. The Vikings are even kind of in that 2.5 range, too. But watch for COVID. I mean, the NFL is getting really hit by COVID already. Vikings have some undisclosed names. We don't know what's going to happen for that. So, you know, no rush here to make plays. Right. But, I think that the teaser, you're definitely on the right side of things. But if you really like the Raiders, don't bet them now. Everyone gets on the Chiefs on Sundays.
Yep.
They're going to think Patrick Mahomes to Kelsey to Hill. Just wait it out, man. You know, there's no reason to jump on this right now. So even though I have the Raiders winning this game, like 28 to 25 or something like that, I think that it's just better off waiting for the number. So that, I think we're all in agreement there. Let's move on to the Monday night game. The LA Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are about plus +4. The total is 49. And last week, they're more the LA Shams, Kyle. And they shammed me out of a teaser last week as well. You know, the two teaser killers pretty much were Baltimore this week already. We're not even a freaking Saturday yet. And the Rams on Sunday night. But I'll tell you this. I have some questions about Stafford and his back, but you know, maybe you have something better here, Kyle, in this big divisional game.
You know, that Titans-Rams game is a little weird because, you know, the Titans really didn't do anything on offense. If you look, the Titans had 3.5 yards per play, less than 200 yards of offense. I've heard some people talking about how good the Titans offense looked without Henry. I mean, they didn't really have to do anything offense.
I think they had less than 200 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's 194 yards of offense. Stafford didn't look very good, and that does concern me. However, the 49ers last week, just a complete no-show. I know some friends had the 49ers and had some great line value in that game last week. No Kyler Murray and a complete no-show. I mean, Colt McCoy just takes down the 49ers with ease. I couldn't bet the 49ers here, guys. I can't take 49ers. They look like a team that has some major issues. Now, am I excited to bet the Rams? Not terribly excited to do so. I think I would take the over if I had to bet this game. 49 seems like a pretty fair number on it. This one's coming down. There's plenty of 3.5s now on the Rams. So some sharp money has taken the 49ers. I'm going to let them take the 49ers because I don't want to take them after that kind of performance. I think that says quite a bit about you. You know, am I excited to lay points with Stafford and the Rams? Not necessarily. And, you know, I don't know if Beckham's a great fit for anybody. You know, we'll see. But the Rams are a quality team, and McVay has done good off a loss, bouncing back. So I'm going to lean Rams and over for this one.
Okay, you know, and I kind of like what you're saying. I'm a little concerned for Stafford's back, and maybe that's why you're seeing stuff on the under. But at the same time, you finish the game. This could be just an excuse we're making for him, and he just kind of turned into the Lion Stafford for a little bit. Everyone deserves a flat spot here and there. It happens. It's a long season. They even added a week this year, you know, 17 games now. That's all could have been. I remember the Rams going to Seattle, and that was the game Russell Wilson was injured. But when Russell Wilson got injured, they were getting their butts kicked. You know, and Geno Smith even scored a touchdown, and they still couldn't cover that spread. That's what I keep thinking that could happen this game. Now, the Rams are third in offensive EPA, and the Niners are 15th. Rams in seventh on defensive EPA, and the 49ers are 23rd. The weird thing about the Niners is that blowing their games through turnovers, somehow they're 0.8 net yards per play positive. The Niners are. I had to do a double look when I looked at that. I'm like, how is that? And they're losing games. Well, they're just sloppy and making stupid mistakes. Rams positive 0.9, not much of an angle there, but just as a complete team, you know that the quarterback and with Stafford and all the moves they're making, the Rams are better. And this could be that get up spot for the Rams. But with Kyle saying, my number is 27-24, Rams winning 27-24. That brings me to 51 points. So if this thing keeps going down, I might be forced to play the under over here. I don't love playing the over up in San Francisco there and their new stadium. It's not a great over stadium. It's an under stadium, but in this situation, a big division game, the Niners defense looking the way it's been, the Rams having such a stinker on offense, I think this could go over. Tony, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to be the dissenting vote. I like the under. Both these games went under last year, and I think one thing Sean McVay is going to do this week is take the pressure off his quarterback. Now, I'm going to kind of leave the side play alone because I have a big play on this over at Doc. So, from the top play, it's my biggest Monday night pick so far this year. I don't put a lot of big units on Monday Night Football because crazy stuff happens, you know, on Monday Night Football. But this is a five-unit play. But on the other side of the ball, the one thing, and I had went against, you know, I mentioned that video I did at Red Rock Sportsbook every week. Well, we did one last week, and I took the Titans, and I had people leaving comments on YouTube. Are you on crack? Are you crazy? And I said, I'm not sold on the Rams. Their schedule has been soft. I mean, they win Detroit, Chicago, Houston, you know, they're running up some big numbers, but they're playing nobodies. You know, I said, until they play somebody. And Tennessee's defense, I thought, has been playing better and this, that, and the other. But that being said, and McVay's a very smart guy here, he's going up with a pretty good rush offense against a 26th-ranked defense to stop in the run. And I think he's going to take some of the pressure off Stafford. I think he's going to run the ball. I think he's going to run the ball with success. And I think that's clock eating. This stadium is an under stadium, as you mentioned. So I'm going to go with the under in this one here. I got a strong opinion on the side play. I will tell you one thing. Both teams will play better than they did last week, because neither one of them could have stunk it up worse. I mean, it was a coin flip on who sucked worse. Everybody in Vegas was on the 49ers last week. You know, I wasn't, but the whole world was, you know, without Hopkins, without, you know, Murray and all those guys. But I'll be the dissenting vote here and get a small lean on the under.
You know, it's funny. I was on Niners +3 early in the week, and then I think I had bought back at 3.5 on the Cardinals. It wasn't a full buyback. It was a three-quarter buyback, so I'm still a little down in the game. But I thought there was no chance I wasn't middling that. I thought the Niners were going to win by 3 points. I thought it was a for sure middle I was jumping into. But at the same time, this is the NFL, guys, you know. So I totally get your handicap there, Tony. So like I said, not rushing to play that. But it's going to be a great game, and I'm sure there's going to be some money coming in. Real curious to where this number ends up. So let's get into our final segment here, and that is our dog to most likely win outright. It's got to be a 3.5-point dog, which is around +140-ish or better on the money line, depending on your books. Tony, I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, it's around 3 to 3.5. Shop it and get on it early, because I think some sharps are going to hit this by Saturday. I like Syracuse +3.5 against Louisville. I think Louisville is, you know, they're kind of an enigma wrapped in a riddle, for lack of a better term, this year. And Syracuse has been consistently really good on defense this year. As a matter of fact, offensively, you think, well, they're not that good offensively. They've outgained 7 out of their 8 opponents, despite their record here. And I think that this is a game where I think Syracuse is undervalued. I'm going to take the Orangemen plus the number. Money line's about $1.35, $1.40, as you mentioned.
There you go. Kyle, I'm a little worried that you're going to pick mine.
Kyle's taking Purdue. Kyle's right.
Well, if you go to the game, Kyle, you got to take Purdue. I mean, that'd be a massive, like, +1,100, right?
I just want to say real quick, though, the one year I had season tickets to Ohio State is the year they won the national championship in, 2014, 2015. So I'm trying to talk my wife into that means I should get season tickets more often. You know,
there you go.
I feel like that's a good argument. But there is a negative to getting season tickets. You miss a lot of the other games, right? You know, you go to one game, and then you miss the rest of the game. So I'm not going to take I'll go with Northwest. No, I'm not going with Northwestern over Wisconsin. I'm wondering if Kiev
24 points.
Yeah, no way I'm taking that. I'm wondering if Kiev might be thinking the same one here, but I'm taking Minnesota over Iowa this week. Iowa, huh. To me, you know, turnover magic, you know, they're always +3 or +4 turnover margin. Look, Iowa's offense is terrible. They're 124th in yards per play in the country. The total's 37, guys. This should be a low-scoring, very close game, and you're giving me a money line price on Minnesota +170. I think this is anybody's game. You know, PJ Fleck a good coach. I know Ferentz is a good coach as well, but Iowa laying points. I don't trust Iowa laying points. You know, whether it's Spencer Petras or Padilla, they really don't have a good quarterback. I know Iowa's defense is very good. Minnesota's defense is pretty good too. I think Minnesota has a real shot in that one, so I'll take the Golden Gophers.
That wasn't the one that I liked, because I think this is a good get-up spot for Iowa.
Okay.
But I think that East Carolina – I'm going East Carolina again, because the last time I did that, it went to overtime versus Houston, Kyle. Memphis is in a sandwich spot here. They just beat SMU.
Yeah.
And SMU was, you know, until they played Houston, was riding high, but now they're feeling good about themselves. And they have Houston on deck, who hasn't even lost an AAC game. And Memphis is a little fraudulent to me. watching some of their games, only scoring 7 points against UCF, while you have a team like East Carolina that should have won that UCF game, went to overtime with a good team like Houston. Man, East Carolina is the quietest team that nobody's talking about. Above 500, they're 5-4. I think they steal one in Memphis here, and you're going to get a decent money line, plus 170, plus 180. That is my play, gentlemen.
Yeah, that would have been the one I was taking. That my two choices were Minnesota or East Carolina. So we almost matched on that one.
Okay, fantastic.
PJ Fleck can win a big game. He can't coach a game that doesn't matter for whatever reason that is. It's crazy. So probably a great call there, Kyle.
Yeah, ask Bowling Green and Illinois how that went, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's some great stuff, guys. We're out of time. Tony, where can our viewers and listeners find your fantastic information?
Hey, just stop by YouTube and see me. Just search Doc Sports over there. We've got daily free pick videos over there and all kinds of fun things. I interview Sean Salisbury every week, and we got some videos up there with the ex-NFL quarterback and some stuff from live from sports books here. So just go to YouTube and search Doc Sports, or just go to DocSports.com and everything's over there. We're locked and loaded and ready to go. And thanks for having me on. I wish everybody a lot of success this weekend.
Wonderful. Kyle, what do you got going on this weekend?
So go to huntersportspicks.com. It's been a great college football season for me thus far. Definitely 41-16 so far this year in college football. So we're going to try to keep that going. You guys know that regression is liable to happen at some point here, but it's been a really nice college football season. Playing a lot of totals, you know, totals are my thing. So I'm also excited college basketball started. And I have some plays here up for college basketball today. You can check out my work there at huntersportspicks.com, and you can sign up for the free picks newsletter if you haven't already. Looking forward to another big weekend. And guys, this is the busy time of the year. We got a lot of action going on, so there'll be plenty of plays coming your way.
Hey, Kyle, by the way, I just wanted to throw out a compliment to you. I've been in this business 30 years, and I will tell you, before Docs, I was at sportscapping.com. I know you're over there too. At the time with Jimmy Boyd's site, and nobody could do college basketball totals, especially small conference ones, better than you did. I used to follow that in awe. Hell, I almost wanted to buy them, you know, especially when I was struggling.
So I'm congratulations with that. I'm going to resell them.
Yeah, there. I might kind of get my wrist slapped for that, but I would. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, if he, the kid can do some college totals. I'll tell you that.
Not a kid anymore. I used to be the young gun, but now I've got the kids.
Now I'm still getting older, so you're still that much younger. So I'm going to call you a kid.
Nobody's having a better college football season than Kyle Hunter. You can also find his total packages at theoddsbreakers.com. And yeah, everything Tony said was true about him. Fantastic. So excited about college basketball this year. Nebraska's got a little fast-paced game themselves tonight versus Sam Houston. I'm excited to watch a little Big Ten action tonight. Check us out, the Odds Breakers, as usual. We're having a fantastic year, up 26 units in college football. We just got in the black on Sunday with the NFL. We'll see if that Ravens teaser leg burns me this week, but we still have more going on and real excited for this weekend. So, guys, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy all the games. Enjoy watching them, betting on them. Be safe, and go get some winners.